Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the July 25 edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then a bit later on in the program, we'll take up the cash grain market with TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, and Mike Tenora will join us from Chicago. He's at T-Storm Weather to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is willag.org. Let's take a look at the numbers from the CME Group this afternoon in Chicago. Futures finished up like this. The September corn was down 4 cents. Our wheat was down 4 cents at 649 and a quarter. December there at 660 and three quarters was 3 1/4 cents lower. September corn futures 12 and a quarter lower at 496. December at 478 and three quarters down a penny and a half. And the March at 499 and a quarter down 1 1/2 cents. Next year's December contract at 510 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter lower. August beans at 1355 and a quarter. We're down 37 and a quarter. September at 1266 and three quarters, down 35. And November beans at 1224, 32 and three quarters lower. January at 1229, down 32. And the March contract at 1230, down 29 and three quarters. May futures at 1226, down 28 and a half. Bean meal futures at 447.80, $20 lower. Bean oil at 43.81, down 45 cents. Live cattle futures finished up at 121.65 in the August, 7.5 cents higher the October, though. Down 17 and a half at 125.50. August feeders at 152.35. We're down 67 and a half cents. And lean hogs on the day at $98.57 and a half cents, down 35 cents for the day. So let's talk about the marketplace. It was an ugly day again in Chicago. Things that I suppose you weren't expecting over the last week or so. What happened and how did it proceed today?
Well, the chart picture on this stuff is, especially beans, it just really got tore up. I mean, if you look at a lead futures contract, we were at calendar year highs here the first part of July, and now we are at calendar year lows on the last week of July. So we've got a humongous, you know, outside year in a way going for us to finish out the month of July. Now, it was several things that probably made the whole soybean thing collapse. Number one, the trade was heavily long the August contracts, whether it was August soybeans, August soybean meal, and then they were short some of the distance. Cash basis levels were way above the delivery level, worried about whether or not processors would be able to get enough inventory to crush to meet their export demand commitment number. But in that same way with corn, corn kind of went through it with July, but we were still kind of somewhat tight on corn. But farmers over the past couple weeks or so have been dribbling out little supplies. I think everybody's gambling beans and gambling corn and everything begin to kind of come out. And all of a sudden, the commercial grain trade begin to say, you know, golly, we got a lot of corn around. You know, we've bought a lot of beans around. And I think that gave the trade a comfort level that all of a sudden the cash inventory situation looked a whole lot better than what it did 2-3 weeks ago, and many now kind of feel that, especially on corn, that we've got enough corn inventory to make it through the rest of the marketing year. Now, there's probably going to be some isolated areas that might not have the inventory. But when you combine the increased farmer selling that the commercials have seen over the past 2-3 weeks, and then you combine it with the start of the southern corn harvest in Mississippi and Arkansas, there's upwards of 200 and some barges sitting down in that lower mid-Mississippi River area to fill up with corn and move north. So it kind of looks, you know, from a corn point of view, and we've seen the basis crack and all that, that we've got enough inventory. Soybeans, that's debatable. We have heard rumors that maybe some China beans are working their way into the country to kind of help ease that situation. So one thing just led to the other. The other thing probably that, you know, kind of pulled the trigger also is a week ago we were in the mid-90s, the upper 90s, and all of a sudden we come in here Monday morning and the weather forecast is cool, if not downright chilly for late July. And that gave a comfort level to the trade that the corn tasseling here over the next week or two will be able to tassel, at least under less stressful conditions compared to what it was a week ago, Todd.
You know, earlier in this conversation, you said outside for the year. That's a big one, I would suppose. At this point, we got a lot of year left. I know what your brothers are.
Well, it's outside the range that we've had. We're halfway through. I guess we're a little bit more since we're in July. But we put 1 month's worth of the whole year's worth of price action in 1 month so far. Well, my guess is anytime you have these kind of declines, people get hurt. If you're on the wrong side of the position, that, you know, forces long liquidation, it forces a lot of losses, and it takes a while for the market to kind of stabilize from those kind of wild price swings. Now, probably my guess is corn is getting close to stabilizing. But one thing that you're going to notice in corn, and you see that today, is September corn's down 12 and like these corn's only down penny and a half.
Right.
What we're going to do is going to try to go into full carry. So what we're going to do, if the trade is correct and they have enough cash inventory to go through the next 60 days or so, is September corn's likely to go underneath the December corn, and you can already see that December corn is underneath the March corn. So you're going to go into a carry market. Now, that's going to be somewhat the way that they're going to try to work the bean market. And you can see, but now today, everything, well, I guess August was only down 37, but you're going to see the front months weaken more than the back end months, so you kind of go into a carrying charge. Now, the beans are probably got a little tighter fundamental picture. I mean, the corn, the trade is kind of convinced that you need a yield under 150 to stop building stocks. And you've got people talking about a national average year yield anywhere between 147 and 160. So I guess we got a lot of talking about to do between now and harvest. But soybeans, I don't think the trade is very comfortable with the 44.5 bushel bean yield. And there's more talk, unless August is absolutely perfect and we get some hurricanes down here in the Gulf that throw some good moisture up into the Midwest, that 44.5 looks rich. the number may be closer to 42.5 or 43, and that really changes the balance picture on beans. So the bean thing is most of the weakness has been all of this August, and then that has just kind of cascade downward into the new crop months. But that's probably, maybe it might take until early next week to get that one kind of cleaned up. But I think both markets will probably have some kind of short-term low in place, you know, by the early part of next week. Then we're ripe for some kind of short covering rally, and then we twiddle our thumbs around trading private crop estimates. We'll have FC Stone, and we'll have Informa Economics and a few other bigger ones, and then the trade will start sizing it up. But this is somewhat common that the last week of July is kind of give up week, and I think this is what we're seeing, give up. Farmers that do have any inventory are just peeling them out. And so this is somewhat seasonal, and now we kind of go sideways once you get a July low in or late July low in or early August low, and then we see what the crop report is. Then we'll we got a long ways to go yet before we really get the combines rolling in the northern areas. But at least in the short run, I think we're getting close to trying to find a point where we're going to try to stabilize, and then once you do that, then you start looking for recovery opportunities.
Dan, it's seasonal, but it seems to me that it's about 3 weeks early given where the new crop is in maturity.
That is true, and I think that's where I think there's a decent shot at some kind of August-September rally, because the trade is wanting to, you know, have this crop sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered here, and we're not there yet. We need, now, there is no doubt about it, this cooler temperatures has really allowed the corn in many areas to tassel under less stressful conditions, but we need some good rains in August to fill out that kernel. We need some good rains to get the beans to fill out. So the trade could very well be getting too anxious on trying to put a big number on this crop. But the forecasts, what I read, and I guess I'll listen to your weather guy, looks like there's a couple chances of rain yet this week, and then there's maybe a couple chances down the road. So the 10-day maps or 14-day maps at least indicate at least mild weather with chances of rain in them. But when you get into August, and it's kind of like what we saw here in July, is you don't get big frontal systems. You get more popcorn-type showers and that kind of stuff around, unless you get a big hurricane. And I think the hurricane that's kind of developing out in the Atlantic now, I think all the guidance models, at least right now, are going to take it along the East Coast. So, but we got a long ways to go yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can always listen to him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything up there not long after it airs on our radio stations.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. On the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market with us is Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, Todd?
Oh, really good. Been a crazy week for you there at the elevator?
Yeah, definitely been crazy. Bean market's obviously gotten hit big time. Corn's taking a hit, not near the hit basis-wise beans have, so it's been pretty interesting.
What's your assessment on the reasons why?
Well, it's a variety of things, obviously, with China selling a few beans, and then you're looking at the river basis and some of these guys you know, really tanking the basis. It got into the board pretty quickly here a couple of days ago, and then it's just been a flowering effect. We've lost on flat cash price around $2.40 here on our cash bean price.
Wow.
So it's pretty catastrophic, you know. I mean, I had a guy sell beans for $16.20 on Tuesday morning, and my posted bid right now, you know, which is changing by the minute sometimes, is $13.85. So, I mean, that just gives you an idea what's been going on.
Yeah, it moved fast, probably faster than I think any people watching the market would have expected it to drop. A 2 or 3 or 4 day drop is really quick.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's probably the biggest drop I've ever seen. You know, as far as the bean market goes, it's been enormous for sure. And then corn, of course, we lost some basis today, but it's been kind of hanging in there a little bit, relatively speaking. But again, I think whenever you see the bean basis cracking like it has, it's you know, it's going to get into the corn sooner or later. And we kind of saw today, you know, certain processors were dropping their bid as much as a dollar, but we haven't quite lost that much locally yet.
Yeah, so old crop, of course, now out of the picture, roughly speaking, I think. There may be a time late in August, I suppose, that might rear its head again. But based on new crop and weather at this time, then is there a bounce somewhere here as these two things try to meet?
Well, you know, I would think that there's probably a little bit of overreaction here. I mean, it would seem to be that way, and I think that we have that a lot of times. And sometimes you see a little bit of a tactic of maybe trying to see just where farmers might do something, whether it's a little bit of a ploy or not, I don't know. But I think you might have a chance of a little bounce back. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that are still thinking that this crop isn't quite what everyone has it made out to be. And while we have good moisture situation at the end of July, we're so far behind normal that there's still a lot to be determined yet. And, you know, early frost is going to get tossed around. I think there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah.
It might give you a little bit of a chance there for a run-up right before new crop supplies arrive.
We're, of course, talking with Matt Bennett this afternoon. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Hey, Matt, the other thing is when you talk to folks about what the crop conditions are, there's kind of a divide, or at least it appears there's a divide, and I don't know whether it runs along I-35, as we were talking about earlier in the year in Iowa and Kansas and then to the west, or whether it's moved a little bit further to the east and maybe the Mississippi River or just this side, between those crops that look really good and those crops that kind of look okay and then they sort of tail off. But I saw something from Doan's today that said, hey, the parts of Iowa and the Northwest look pretty good too.
Yeah, I think that there are parts that look pretty good. But again, I think that it's, you know, if you talk to any agronomist, they'll tell you, you know, things might look pretty good from the road, for instance, but you get up in the air and they don't look so good. And then you also, you know, just because our vegetative looks really good, maybe from the air and whatnot, and certain infrared, you know, satellites people are using, I mean, you got to stop and think that we're so far behind normal. You know, there's a lot of people that are kind of tossing around. They don't think that a lot of the corn in Iowa will be completely developed by the time we get our first frost. So that's something that's got to be kept in mind as well. I think that there's a lot of different factors throughout the entire Midwest, but we're so far behind normal that I don't want to get sold on a bumper crop just yet. I think risk management this year has definitely proven to be a very good tool because of these things. You know, a lot of guys have uninsured bushels sold, and if you stop and think about it, if they're in that situation, they're probably not too upset about the market tanking the way it has, to be perfectly honest.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. In just a couple seconds, I'll be back, and we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenorum.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago is on the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Start here in the Midwest for me, please. Mike, it's been a beautiful couple of days. Can we expect more of the same?
Well, it depends on where you're located. Parts of Illinois don't have the best of rain chances over the next several days. It will turn unseasonably cool from Illinois and east and really across all corn and soybean areas, beginning as early as tomorrow, but more so Saturday and Sunday. So temperatures will remain far below average over the next several days. But in the transition to that cooler pattern, we do have some thunderstorm chances to the west, off in Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Minnesota, and parts of South Dakota. That's a very important issue because parts of this region have been unseasonably dry over the last 2 to 3 weeks, and even extending beyond that now into the latter part of June. So we need to see some big rains verify for that part of the Corn Belt. The way it looks now, there will be several thunderstorm clusters in that region over the next 12 to 18 hours. So we think there will be a little bit of rain to help improve conditions there. But the real good chances for rain, or at least the better chances for rain, hold off until about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. We'll transition back into a seasonably warmer pattern with high temperatures in the 80s and lows in the 60s, as opposed to 70s and 50s that we'll see over the next few days. And that warmer pattern will allow energy to move closer to the Corn Belt, which should ultimately result in better thunderstorm chances.
And when that energy comes in, better means 10, 15, 20% coverage, or something a bit better than that even?
No, we would think higher than that. We would think in the range of 50 to 75% coverage. The southwest two-thirds of corn and soybeans would have the best chance for near or above average rainfall. Chances would be a little bit lower as you head north and east from Illinois. But keep in mind that parts of Ohio really don't need any more rain. Parts of Indiana are wet. It's really the areas from central Illinois and west that need the most rain. So we're kind of looking at a pretty good setup potentially, with the dry areas getting wetter and the wetter areas staying a little drier.
And if you turn your attention to other parts of the planet, which areas of the world are you watching?
Well, the main one at this time of year is China, just because their corn and soybeans are going through similar phases of development as to ours. And they've been very wet over the last month, and that pattern is going to continue for a while longer. So dryness will not be an issue for corn and soybeans in China. Wetness could be a bit of an issue, but it's real hard to figure out with the limited amount of data that we have available to analyze. But that's probably the main area that we're keeping an eye on. Otherwise, parts of southern Europe are going to be fairly hot over the next several days. That's a bit of a potential problem for corn in Italy and Spain, but a relatively minor issue, especially with other areas of Europe looking seasonable to cool and most having been fairly wet over the last 1 to 2 months.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
News happens. It can be anywhere.
To dissolve